Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
For MQFF 2012, Joy 94.9 is proud to present codependent lesbian space alien Seeks Same. Everything you've heard about this film is true. It's an original, entertaining and laugh-out-loud lesbian comedy starring three lesbian aliens looking for love in all the wrong places and on all the wrong planets.
Did you want to buy a pen or something?
Do you have a radio transmitter?
Codependent lesbian space alien Seeks Same. Saturday, March 17 from 6 p.m. Joy members, book online to receive a special discounted price. See the Joy website for more details or book at mqff.com.au.
Joy 94.9 is proud to support the 2012 Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Hey, hey, it is number 104. This is show number 104, so welcome. Everybody is here. Well, not everybody, but I do have three other guests, which is great. Keeps me propped up on the panel. And that track was What Do I Do by Lani Lane. Have I got that right?
That's very good.
That's right. That's Kyland.
Lani Lane.
Telling me how to say a person's name. Excellent. So here we are. Tonight the show is about, well, a couple of things really. Video games for one, as a genre treat, and also we've got Kylan from Joy's very own art show, Kiss My Arts, on Monday nights. He's here. Welcome.
What's up?
All right. I'll turn your mic off now. just pulling your leg. And, of course, Mitch is back. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thank you. Hey, everyone.
As well. Good, good. And Andrew. Andrew Pogson, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Now, technically, it's your second time, but you have been in a pre-recorded interview.
It is.
And now you're actually in the studio live.
So it is my first time in real life.
In real life. Mm. And real life can get quite scary. And tonight's show is going to be an exception to that, I think. We've got John Carter. Well, no, we don't. It's the movie that everyone's talking about. And Kylan is going to break that down for us later on. Mm-hmm. And I think Mitch has got some money he wants to throw at that too.
Oh, I saw it as well. 3D.
Yep, so did I. We'll talk about it later. Very interesting. Yeah,
could get nasty. And Andrew's going to talk about the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. And there's something going on there that involves our video games.
Yes, it's my most favourite topic, and we'll be talking about that later, I guess.
Yeah, we will. Well, probably next.
Yeah, well, next. There we
almost, almost next. So, yes, let's get the show started. So, welcome everybody that's here tonight, and if you have something you would like to, you know, mention about genre and particularly video games, or you've seen John Carter and you want to put your 5 cents in, wait, there's more. Not steak knives, but better than that, there is a double pass to give away. Kylan, take us away.
Yeah, Sci-Fi and Scream tonight is giving away one double pass to, codependent lesbian space alien Seeks Same, showing at on Saturday the 17th of March at 6:15 p.m. So for MQFF 2012, Joy 94.9 is proud to present codependent lesbian space alien Seeks Same. Mouthful,
wow,
that is.
Wow,
lovely.
It's everything, taken me months to get my mouth around that one.
Everything you've heard about this film is true. It's original, entertaining, and a laugh-out-loud lesbian comedy starring three lesbian aliens looking for love in all the wrong places and planets. Joy members, book online to receive a special discounted price. See the Joy website for more details or book at mqff.com.au. Joy 94.9 is proud to support the 2012 Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Thanks to MQFF.
McQuiff.
never thought of that. That is so... Yeah, McQuiff.
Think of your McQuiff. And you can also head to our Facebook page, which is in Facebook. And you go facebook.com/sci-fi and scream. You go there, now, and you will find all these fabulous links, plus my interview with the director, producer, creator, writer, the woman that brought it all together, that particular film, Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same. Her interview's there on podcast, so check it out. It's 28 minutes and 4 seconds long.
She
so
didn't
that's
even
fun.
Have to look at the title. She just said it straight off the bat.
I know.
It's tattooed on my brain now, or my tongue. Oh, I won't say that word. I was going to, but not going to now. All right. Now, tonight, it's not all fun and games, actually, because it's quite sad. I want to acknowledge the passing into death of a great, great artist known as Moebius. Now, he's a French man that was born some time ago. He died age 73 just a couple of days ago. Actually, Saturday morning our time, after a long battle with cancer. Very sad indeed. Jean-Henri Gaston Girard. Yes, my pronunciation's probably crap, but when you see this man's amazing artwork, you will recognise it immediately, one would hope. Now, he's also a French comics artist, but he was responsible for things like The Silver Surfer as well, amongst other things. So he did cross over into the English-speaking culture. And he did a Western comic series called Blueberry a long time ago, back in the 1960s. He was incredibly influential from everyone to Luc Besson's Fifth Element, which he worked on, Alien, the first Alien film from 1979 with Ridley Scott. He worked on Willow, which is a great fantasy film from the 80s. Tron, now the first Tron in 1982, which was just probably one of the most exquisite pieces of hand-painted artwork that was developed through Kodak, special Kodak stock into film. Finally he has gone. Very sad indeed, but I've put some pics on our Facebook site and there's some links there as well. So
he did all the art direction for these films, or?
He did a lot of the art and the beautiful paintings and animation. He was very influential. Even Japanese animators, were very touched by his...
the portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the, some of the all-time greats from back in those couple of decades.
So, and he worked with Dan O'Bannon, of course, who worked closely with Ridley Scott on Alien 1. Dan O'Bannon died in 2010. So, yes, there's a few people that are passing away at the moment. Of course, Japanese artist Miyazaki, his work is strongly related to Moebius and has strong influence there. William Gibson, who wrote Cyberpunk author, of course, actually refers to his work in one of his books called The Long Tomorrow. So he was also a key visual reference working alongside Ridley Scott on Blade Runner. The man was, it's not much
like
more we can say.
God.
Oh, yes, indeed. Right. Moving on. Well, just to let you know, that's happened.
Well, that's sad, man.
We should remember.
Yeah, that's, as I said to you off air, I didn't even know about Moebius and didn't know about his works, and pretty much the, like I said, like a god amongst men in terms of his artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The paintbrush never lies. He was an incredible, even Italian filmmaker Federico Fellini thought his way of spatial, dimensions was just, Fellini wasn't a science fiction person, but he thought he was pretty amazing and recommended him.
Wow.
Okay, so even I would say that even the John Carter film you're going to mention or talk about later, it would probably say they would also have been influenced by him.
Okay.
I reckon. Okay, right. I'm not going to argue that point. Instead, we're going to talk to Andrew Poxon, who's sitting in the middle here. Are you comfortable there?
I am very comfortable.
All right. Now, I did have some questions for you. Remember I emailed those to you?
You did. It was a while ago, though.
Now. Yes, it was. I found them.
Yep.
Thanks to Kylan. I dug them out off my Hotmail.
Yes.
And generally, I know you're a big gamer fan, and the first time we came across each other was for Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Doctor Who concerts. Yeah, which were back at the beginning of February, which were absolutely fantastic. I hope there are people out there who got to go to the shows because, the crowds were amazing. It's been, well, it's probably the first time that I've seen 12,000 people screaming for what amounts to an orchestral show. So, you know, people on their feet going crazy. One absolutely priceless moment where, unfortunately, there was a technical glitch and then we had 5,000 sonic screwdrivers pointing towards the orchestra trying to fix it, which was, I mean, you can't write that sort of stuff. So it was a really great great weekend for the MSO. So we were all very proud of that one.
Yeah, and you should be. And, of course, Mark Shepherd was there being the MC or compere.
Yeah.
And I've got a 1 hour, 39 minute and 43 second interview with Mark Shepherd.
He does like to talk.
On podcast. Yeah, he did. He wouldn't stop.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good thing. It's been held to
It's
edit,
better than the opposite, I guess. So.
So what's coming up, MSO, this new one, Video Games Unplugged?
Yeah, so we've got, I guess, the second of our special concerts for this year. And it is a video game theme show. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the really special thing about this one is that this particular show is something that the MSO and myself have put together from scratch, from the ground up, being that I was sort of shopping around, I guess, for some shows that I could put together on video games. And being that it's such a passion of mine, I couldn't actually find anything that really lived up to what I was hoping the show to be. So I said, well, you know what? Let's just do it ourselves. Let's approach all the companies ourselves. Let's approach all the composers ourselves and actually do it from scratch. So, and that's what I set out to do. So the really great thing about this show is that it is authentic from the ground up. It's not sort of charts that you get, you know, off the internet or anything like that, or from any sort of music library. I've gone direct to the source each and every time. So what that results in is that there's a huge amount of world premieres throughout it. So games that haven't been released, games that have recently been released, some older games but brand new arrangements that have come from the composers. So,
that's exciting. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to talk about that more in a moment. We've just got these messages. You're listening to Sonia with Mitch and Andrew and Kylan on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm Lucky McKee and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm Sonia. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're giving away a prize. So if you want to see something really queer and original, very original, in a very good way, you need to see Codependent, Lesbian, Space Alien, Seek Same. It's original, as I've said four times, entertaining and a laugh-out-loud lesbian comedy about codependent lesbians who are aliens, are looking for love and have a big feeling that their love is causing holes in the ozone layer.
Is this one of those subjective films?
It's a lesbian film.
So it's subjective
then. No, but it's good. It's good fun. Okay. And it's in black and white, but black and white's okay. There's only a few subtitles too,
Amanda,
so not a lot of reading.
Best picture at the Oscars this year went to a black and white film.
I know. Weird, isn't it?
No.
Good.
It's good.
It's good. It was French too, but not the subtitles. They were in English. So come on, if you haven't won anything in 2 weeks, now's your chance. Mitch, tell us about that song.
I just chose that song because we're talking about video games and it's a very popular song for Rainbow Unicorn Attack, which is now owned by Cartoon Network, I think. It was originally a Flash game on Black Sheep, I think, and it just went from there and it's just a really funny song. Oh, that was to shut me down.
No, I'm just kidding.
Fail.
You morphing timeout. Sorry, it was very rude. Back to you, Andrew
what
and Mitch.
Like, I don't know. I'm nervous now.
I know. I'm scared to
make sure Sonia doesn't say that again.
Oh, there's this one. I like this one. Oh, it was so quick. What? That was the frog. Wow. Frog jump. Thanks for your...
Like, from Frogger?
From Frogger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I guess.
Getting old school.
So where can people go and find out more about Video Games Unplugged Symphony of Legends?
Well, the new website just launched last week, and it is quite simply www.videogamesunplugged.com.au. So, plug that in, and you will be transported to a internet page of mystery. No, all of your answers, you know, will be met on that page.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, something like that could happen.
It's amazing.
Was that from Zelda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course. And then there's this one.
Oh, God.
What game's that from?
It's Thunder.
Oh.
If you can't
it's
tell by
game.
The name.
Oh, I see. That was
and
Thunder.
Then you can start the rain sound.
Should I? No, we'll do that a bit later. Maybe. All right. We're having fun and games here. Video Games Unplugged is coming soon. And there's some awesome guests. You're getting a very famous person.
Yeah. Well, there's three really... Well, actually, there's lots of famous people, depending on how deeply you delve. But our three guest presenters, which are quite exciting. First up, we have the lovely Will Wheaton, who people will know from Star Trek and from... Oh, wow. This is amazing.
It's exciting. That's how I felt when you said his name.
Yeah, well, it's how everyone feels. I mean, everyone loves Will Wheaton. The internet's nice guy. Obviously, he's on The Big Bang Theory, playing himself, I guess an evil version of. He's on The Guild, if you get into that. Obviously, Stand By Me, if you grew up in the 80s. So, fantastic guy. So, he's going to be presenting. The two other presenters who will be with him is Scott Kurtz and Chris Straub. Now, Scott Kurtz is from PvP Online, a webcomic, and along with that, he's featured pretty heavily on the Penny Arcade TV, well, Penny Arcade website on Penny Arcade TV, called Chris and Scott's Scott and Chris Show, and also Blamimations. So they're sort of pretty well-known sort of internet personalities, and they'll be coming along as well.
Oh.
Along with that, we have some special guests from the actual games themselves. We have some composers from the games who are coming along. We have a conductor, Philip Chu, who is the conductor from many of the original game scores, along with some of the performers from those original soundtracks. So we actually have a pretty star-studded cast in terms of...
See, I thought it was just a computer and, like, computer noises. But you were saying it was all programmers and people, actual musicians.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, well, this is the fun part about this is that for some of the older stuff that used to be, in fact, that, you know, computers with bips and bops, we have reorchestrated everything for an actual full symphony orchestra, which is really exciting to hear those come to life. Along with that, I guess now that we're, you know, video game budgets are surpassing Hollywood movies, what comes with that is orchestration.
Some
Hollywood movies. What comes with that,
John Carter?
Yeah. what comes with that is the fact that they've now got budgets for full symphony orchestras to actually feature in those games.
Gosh.
So, we've got sort of a bit of everything for everybody.
Everybody get their geek on.
Indeed.
And most geeks probably haven't seen an orchestra.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort
guessing.
Of what it was with Doctor Who as well. It was sort of a brand new audience that came along for their love for Doctor Who, I guess.
It's
and
good
then,
for them to get out of the house, too.
Well, exactly. There was some light, and though it was at the night. Anyway, I mean, like, it's actually a great opportunity to actually come and hear a symphony orchestra in a setting that makes sense to you. So often orchestras are accused of not being relevant and all that sort of stuff, and I guess one of the big MSO things is that we are trying to sort of reach as many people as possible. And I don't know about anyone else here, but, you know, I grew up with video game music. It's sort of something that really speaks to me, and so when I hear that in an orchestra, that's sort of my soundtrack to the...
And the repetitiveness of it. It reminds me of fish and chips and...
Yeah,
cold
absolutely.
Winter days outside playing arcade games. Because back then, when I was a little kid, arcade games were outside the fish and chip shop.
Yes.
Because arcade games were...
And they were 20-cent
pieces.
For one go.
For an hour, you could have that game. If
I wasn't
good,
that good, but still. Yes.
Tried.
They were brutal, those games, though.
In the rain, they were.
Like,
they
for were. 20 cents, you were dead in about 5 seconds. And then you need another 20 cents, and then
this
another.
That's true.
And, yeah.
And
what are we talking about here, like
80s? Yeah, those old style 80s ones that just ate your money.
Cool.
And my parents had to keep on coughing up, and I would whinge all day long.
And the mortgage on the house, you know. Oh, dear. All right, well, we'll be back shortly. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Take a trip to another dimension. You'll never be the same again. On Sci-Fi and Scream, Australia's only LGBTIQ horror and science fiction radio show. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Joy.
Hi, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. My name is Nichols Winding Refn, and this is one of my favorite shows.
Yes, he listens to it all the time. That's Nicholas Winding Refn, who made Drive, and that is out now. Well, it's out now on the little box desk things. That was Doves, and I was going to play Spellbound, but that was Kingdom of Rust, and that's for Alistair Reynolds, a sci-fi speculative writer, who said that was one of his favourite songs on his iPod next to Lady Hawk when I interviewed him in 2010. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. We've got Andrew, Mitch and Kylan in the house, or in the studio. Hmm. We've been talking about video games. Andrew's going, And Kylan had a great question for Andrew, which I would never be able to beat, but he said it off air, and I'm going to ask him now.
Well, I didn't want to overrule, you know, step over the questions you had already devised for
yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah, look at them all.
But I was genuinely interested in finding out, like, how did you come about to, you know, develop that idea? Was there, were you sitting down with a bunch of mates playing some old school Nintendo games?
Well, I guess from my job at the MSO is to really try and come up with some sort of new ideas and new ways of bringing people into the MSO to try and experience an orchestra, because that's really my main goal of all of this. So I guess in terms of what the orchestra normally does, we do a lot of movie themes, we do a lot of TV show themes. We that's all been done before. I guess one of the major industries in the world, which often doesn't get that good a press, but I believe pulled in some multiple billion dollars of profit in last year, is the video games industry. And obviously, to have that sort of, you know, that sort of income, there are a huge number of gamers out there who, whether they like to admit it or not, are out there and are experiencing this sort of music. And especially for a younger generation, I mean, really, there aren't many people, you know, below the age of 30 who haven't experienced games in some way. And to have, you know, normally with a game you'll spend hours and hours and hours in front of it, and the whole time there is a soundtrack playing, and I thought to myself, well, it's, that really is the soundtrack of multiple generations coming up now. It's, you know,
multiple,
it's not
players,
well, multiple, yeah, exactly. It's you know, it's not necessarily pop music, it's not even necessarily film music for a lot of younger people. So it's, you know, it's a way of reaching out to those
people. It's like you were saying before about how, you know, to us, listening to, when we hear, like for me, for example, when I listen to Super Mario Brothers, I always think back to a childhood with my brother, just you know, sitting out in the country when it's, you know, we can't go out because
it's raining.
So we're just
all the time.
Or however it goes. Sorry, I didn't want to overstep.
I agree.
I know you're probably going to ask me to come and be part of the symphony now with that little tune.
But for me, it was like, go away. For me, it was like, go away, go and play your video games and get away.
Get out of the house.
Well, you can come out of the house and come to the concert. So it ticks both boxes.
Away from the computer.
You can tell your parents, I'm going to be cultured with the MSO.
I'm going to be cultured
like a
pearl.
But really, continue your gaming outside the house.
Are people allowed to be gaming while they're listening?
Well, this is one of the most exciting things, which you haven't really talked about, and I really would love to mention it, is that there is going to be a live video game tournament on stage.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so there's semi-finals are going to be hosted by our good friends at Couch Warriors on the 31st of March, and the two finalists will win a spot to play live on stage. So what the game is Soul Calibur 5.
Yes.
And they will be playing with, I guess, the big screens behind the orchestra with the people fighting on there, and they'll be up the front on stage with their joysticks and so on, their controllers. And the really cool part is that the orchestra will be playing the fighting music live. So this is sort of like how, the way I explain it, this is how rich kids play video games. It's like a full 100-piece orchestra backing a video game final, which is pretty cool.
That is intensely amazing. I want
to
go and just see that.
Yeah, that looks...
That's the first time... This is the first time this has ever happened in the world, and I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. There is no other time that this has happened. So
will it happen again?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Damn, he's be the first person to do it. Congrats, man.
And it's in Melbourne, so, you know, you should all come along. So it will be amazing.
Melbourne's a first for a lot of things.
Exactly.
In many ways.
Steam, we pride ourselves being having like everything that in Melbourne.
Just a question. So can you just repeat again how you can get tickets, or how you can research this one?
Yeah, so the place you can get tickets is just head on to our website, which is www.videogamesunplugged.com.au, and all the information is on there.
Good. Cool. Mm. Well, thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
I, for one, will be going to that.
I'm thrilled.
Andrew Pogson, it's great to have you on board. You can hang around because we are going to be doing something really special next. That's first time ever. Kylan is doing a review. Normally he does Kiss My Arts.
Yes.
On a Monday. Tell us about that one. That show, I mean.
Yeah, Monday, 9 to 10. Listen to myself and my beautiful co-host, Amy. And
Same station,
mm-hmm. Yeah, as always. You get to hear my sultry, deep voice. Mm-hmm. Not like yesterday, which was quite horsey. But
was anyway, it?
Yeah.
Mm, out to pasture. Maybe.
Moving on.
All right. Nelly. Okay, and prize. Can you mention the prize?
Yeah, so right. Guys, once again, Sonia and Mitch for the Sci-Fi and Scream are giving away one double pass to the film Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seeks Same.
That's the way to go.
So,
yes.
Was it. That Gallagher?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was. I love Gallagher. Mm. We've got that special thing
we
happening.
We have a special handshake.
Oh, yeah, nice. Special Gallagher handshake.
Gallagher handshake.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's really good for radio. thank you again, Andrew.
We're looking forward
to that. And everybody go to the Facebook site. Just go Facebook, Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sorry. Whereabouts?
It's in Facebook.
Good. In it.
All the kids are doing it.
All the kids are doing it.
Mm. Yeah. John Carter's up next. Well, the movie, that is. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. This is the fabulous Adam Richard. Yeah, totally love this show.
You, I believed that something new can come into this world.
You are John Carter of Earth?
Yes, ma'am. What happened to this place?
A new power threatens to destroy our city.
That don't look like a fair fight.
You are ugly, but you are beautiful.
You will fight for us!
Get on. We did not cause this. But this very night, we will end it!
Sci-Fi and Scream, Joy 94.9. Take it away, Kyle, and what was that?
So that was the trailer there for John Carter, which was released last Thursday. It's distributed from Walt Disney. And, yeah, the specs. I'll start off with the specs, the details, okay? Yeah. It's 132 minutes, so it's a very long film. The director's Andrew Stanton. It's based on the book A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. And the cast is Taylor Kitsch, Lynn Collins, Mark Strong, Ciaran Hinds, and William Dafoe. Now, Andrew Stanton is the creator of Pixar animated films like Finding Nemo and WALL-E. And this is his first live-action film that he's directed, which is based on the 1917 novel, as I've mentioned, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Now, primarily, the film was set in the 1880s, where John Carter, who is played by Taylor Kitsch, who you may have seen as Gambit in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and he plays a former captain of the American Confederate Army and wants to lead a simple, respectful life finding gold. However, he finds himself in trouble with the army trying to recruit him and escapes. Now, before you know it, he stumbles upon a magical cave, and upon battling an extraterrestrial being, he is transported to the magical land that is Barsoom, otherwise known as Mars. Now, Carter then assumes some magical ability on Barsoom to jump incredible lengths and be powerfully strong. He learns that Barsoom is being leaked of its energy and thus recruited by a thank God she's pretty because her acting is very mediocre princess, who is played by Lynn Collins. And she recruits him to help the people of Helium, I kid you not, into saving their planet. Now, will John join the fight, or will he continue his pacifist ways that he practiced on Earth? What this film fails to achieve is the ability to actually make sense. First off, you have characters in the film that look like a mishmash of Star Wars creatures. For example, the dog looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, has it got four legs?
Yes.
Oh.
But the face just very much reminded me of Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, dear.
Secondly, the screenplay is weak and overloaded with moments of American sentimentality and cheese. Mm. Like, here come the violins, and what usually happens when violins play? People kiss.
Oh, usually for me, it's people go crazy because I think of the violins and Psycho. Okay.
Thirdly, the scenes are all over the show and the action scenes are not actually action-packed.
Okay.
For example, there's a battle scene that happens, and then all of a sudden it stops and there's a wedding.
Oh.
Wow.
I turned to my friend and said, did you just see that, or was that just I? And
the editor fell asleep.
What was it, 250 million to make this film?
100 million in marketing alone.
All in all, the movie lacks energy. It's confusing, and it can't help but seem like an inferior copycat to some of the greatest sci-fi flicks that came before. And saying that, though, this two-hour sci-fest, I will say, is mildly entertaining, but only if you go in expecting handsome, beautiful actors to do mildly average jobs of their roles. I want to like it more, but for some reason, I just can't. Mm. And for that, I give it 2 out of 5.
Ooh. All right, yep. That's John Carter.
Yeah.
Mm. And Mitch,
what did you think? You saw it in 3D, as did I.
In 3D, yeah. I agree, it is really confusing. Like, when he, like, no spoilers, like, when he teleports something, there's only bones. Like, yeah, I was like, the bones have hair, man. It's got a wig on. And
oh. Yeah.
And yeah.
Did you see the thing with the characters as well? Like, did they remind you of, like, a lot of sci-fi characters from, like, Star Wars? And
just the costume design, because they have no depth.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so who's the princess?
Yeah.
Okay, what's anything good about just she's a princess? The yep. end. And like, who's John Carter? I don't know. He's got some flashbacks now and then. Yeah. That's all I know.
I know the flashbacks. I know. Were like, why are they in there?
Yeah. So what happened there? Sense. Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but something happened. I don't know what. Like,
yeah.
And then a flashback.
And then yep.
That was the attempt at character depth, like some sort of like storyline with death. I'm like, no.
No.
Dog was my favorite character.
Really?
Probably I like look like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Sola, I think her name.
Sola, yeah.
I'm like, now she gets the short straw of all the situations.
Yeah. So yeah, like in all honesty, I don't think it should be seen in 3D.
Take it seriously?
No, well, don't take it seriously. No, it's a science fiction. It's Disney, so you know, it's supposed to be entertaining
for the kids,
and it does it, but like what was I gonna say? No, I've lost my point.
Well, someone sent in an SMS
about John Carter.
Yes, they say the John Carter film press so far has been very white man's burden, a little bit Rider Haggard. She feel to it. Ah, that's Robert from Pasco Vale. Now, yeah, because, of course, Edgar Rice Burroughs did Tarzan.
Yeah, he wrote the Tarzan novels. And what's actually interesting about John Carter is that it marks the centenary from when Rice Burroughs...
1912
first developed the Princess of
Mars. Basum.
Yeah, it was actually picked up by a publisher in 1917, where they were first... developed then, but yeah, so I don't know, man. Like, each to their own, like, it's just a review. But in all honesty, there are better Disney films out there, and you know,
well, in the future, too. Yeah, I mean, this
I'm not gonna go see it again.
You're not,
no,
all right. I think it's 2 out of 5.
Something good, if you don't want to think, if you're just like, okay, I'm tired, I just want to watch something,
yes,
without any depth, yeah, like. Because, you know, sometimes you feel like that. You feel like, okay, I'm going to go to the movies. I don't care. I don't want something dramatic or...
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's a good hangover film.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Date film. Make out.
Oh. Nothing else to do.
Okay.
And you can still follow what's going on in the storyline. Like, you glance away, come back in. Oh, okay.
It's a good popcorn binging film then, probably, because you're going to be going through a lot of popcorn.
Especially when it's for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't feel like 2 hours. I have to say, it didn't feel like 2 hours. Really? The story didn't develop that much.
Mm.
Oh, and at the end, they dedicate the film to Steve Jobs. And I was like, my friend and I was like, weird. What?
That is weird.
Wow.
Is it because it was made on an iMac or something? Like,
I've done
the whole thing. So, yeah. Right. So that monster's no good, blah, blah. Not
that interesting, but you just can't help but think, I've seen this all before.
Yeah.
It's nothing new. You've seen it all before.
But maybe that's the thing. I mean, this is one of the oldest sci-fi serials by, excuse me, by Origin. Mm. And it could be why. I mean, it's been hugely influential, that sort of idea of, you know, human going to Mars and teaching the Martians the right way to conduct themselves. Because they're savages after all, aren't they? It's a bit like Avatar is a little bit the same. I mean, the influences are there, I guess. The whole
theme of the savage is played out in this film.
Yep.
But yet, I don't think that, how can I say, they're not the minority, I don't think.
Not as bad as the blue people in Avatar.
Well, I mean, that was a different film because there were a lot of different themes into that. There was themes of colonization, you know, oppression of people, and yet they still came out because they fought, and the themes of savagery again. Mm. So this film, John Carter, does not have that.
Does not have that.
Does not have that. Mm. Andrew, will you go see it?
I'm not so sure now.
Well, I have to throw in, like, for people who are concerned, there's a lot of skin. Oh. They're not wearing much clothes. Like, clothes get ripped off all the time.
So less clothes than Princess Leia in the middle bikini. And
that's all she's wearing. That's all she's wearing through the whole movie is that bikini.
So in cosplay terms, this could be where this film will be successful.
A nightmare if it's cosplay terms.
I can't believe you remembered that. I didn't even pick up on that.
How could you not pick up on that? I'm like, dude, no one's wearing clothes. Even the aliens. What are they wearing? And they give John Carter their clothes.
They're like,
here, you can wear our uniform. That's less than what he was wearing before.
But Mars is very dry, isn't it?
It's
quite warm. Okay. All those canals are empty.
It's like the beach of space.
It's like the princess of that movie. Her canal is very empty until she sees John Carter in the uniform
and fills up.
Is there some good action? Is there lots of good action scenes, or is it good special effects? What's holding it all together, if anything?
I think what's holding this film all together is
skin.
Air.
Wow.
No, okay, when the action films do happen, Mitch, you can agree or disagree. When the action films do happen, like I said, there's not a lot that actually occurs. But what actually does is kind of, it's interesting to see. But you want more of it.
Yeah.
You just want
it
more.
Sounds
and you're like,
lumbrous and ponderous and bloated.
Mm. No depth.
Bloated.
There we go.
Okay.
You need a noise.
Yeah, where's the noise?
Oh,
where's
no.
the noise?
Oh,
do a noise.
We've got
under pressure.
We need a game over noise.
Game over noise. Okay, try that one.
Here she goes.
That's a bit of a sad game over noise. And it's going to be game over very soon because we're going to have to check out in a moment or two. But before we do, it's been great having all of you here. Now, Mitch has got some news about what's coming up in a couple of weeks. He was meant to do it, but...
I was meant to do it, but instead I saw John Carter.
Oh, aren't you glad?
Yeah. So in a few weeks, I'll be going on the ghost tour and reviewing that. I've heard a few stories about all the different ghost tours of Melbourne. There's about three, and they don't go into each other's territory. So it's kind of like ghost territory.
Yeah.
And so I'll be busting out on that and telling everyone about it and giving some advice on if you want to go on the Melbourne ghost
spooked.
Tour. And get scared.
Get a bit scared.
Go in a blanket.
Might have to call you Casper after this.
What's Casper's girlfriend's name?
Casperlet.
Casper has a girlfriend.
I don't know.
He gets a girlfriend. I remember, you know.
Remember that Casper's like, a ghost, right?
Remember, and he's like, yeah. I want to kiss you, but I can't.
Are you talking about the film with Christina Ricci?
Hello.
Oh, no. Christina Ricci.
It's either we're too old or...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Something's going on. Well, we've got some messages. We'll come back and wrap it up for the evening on episode 104. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream would like to say goodbye now. In a moment or two, we'll be moving to the next realm. So, yes, Mitch will be busy spooking up Melbourne.
In a fortnight.
In a fortnight. Don't know what you're doing next week, but...
I'm going to the Grand Prix on the weekend.
Oh, good for you. We'll move on. Yeah. Andrew, what are you going to be doing?
What am I going to be doing? I'm going to be working my butt off for this concert.
Yeah,
so,
madly, I'd
say.
Indeed.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That's my month done.
That's your life gone.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, though.
My pleasure.
At least we got a chance to talk to you before your life got taken over completely.
Exactly.
And Kylan, what's happening on Kiss My Arts?
This
Anything?
Week, yeah, this week I'm reviewing The Rum Diary based on Hunter S. Thompson.
Cool.
And I'm also going to be reviewing 21 Jump Street.
So, yeah,
I saw the trailer. The trailer sucks, but the reviews, apparently, the early reviews are saying it's actually a really good film. It's hitting, it's at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good on
so
them.
So tune in 9 to 10 on Monday. And can I just say it's been a privilege coming onto Sci-Fi and Scream.
Yes, it won't happen again. No, well, no, you're coming on next week. Did you know
See
that?
You later.
No. Oh, ooh, don't give up your day job.
Oh yeah, next week we'll talk. We're
next
be talking.
Week, next week we are talking about how gay, how so gay vampires are, how lame, how so gay they are. Yeah, so it's vampires versus zombies. What's happened to our vampires? Why are they just literally a pain in the neck now? And why is it that zombies seem to be manning up and they're the ones? They're
the most
butch
amazing
ones.
Thing ever.
Isn't it?
Mm.
Walking Dead and versus Twilight. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, True Blood.
Versus Walking Dead.
The Vampire Diaries.
Yep. Don't even want to go there.
I don't want to go there.
But we will be. And we will have some guests. We'll have Joe White in here from 3CR's Comic Spot. Who else will be coming in? Don't know, but I'll be here and you'll be here. Who? Don't know who else. Well, look, let's go now. Mitch won't be here.
Yes, I will.
Oh, yes, you will. Mitch will be here.
Oh, well, everyone's here, Mitch.
Oh,
suddenly I'm here. Oh.
I think she's trying to tell you something, dude.
No, but Mitch, you're on another show as well.
I'm also on the Asian Pop Experiment Thursday nights from 7 to 8.
Good.
Enjoy.
And it brings life to the station. All right, well, thanks again for listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Don't forget, So Gay Vampires next week versus zombies. You've heard it here.
Zombies for life.
Good evening.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.